It's cold at the moment, isn't it? Winter is a harsh time and we wrap ourselves in blankets or lean in towards heaters. Light a fire, perhaps. I mean, winter is relatively mild here, but even so, I'm still seeking out warmth. It's a lot harsher in many other parts of the world, like England, for example. Eleanor Parker tells how the Anglo-Saxons would pay attention to the seasons around them. They needed to if they wanted to survive. And they paid particular attention to winter, a cold and a dark season that sometimes seemed never-ending. People would gather around the great fire in the hall, keeping warm together, telling stories and singing songs to get through. Listen to this ancient poem from the 10th century. Frost must freeze, fire burn up wood, the earth grow, ice build bridges. Water wears a helmet, wondrously locking up, shoots in the earth. One alone shall unbind the frost's fetters, God most mighty. Winter must pass, good weather come again, summer bright and hot. Winter must pass, they would repeat to themselves, summer bright and hot will come. As we wrap ourselves in jackets and sit where there are patches of sun, I want to do what the Anglo-Saxons used to do as we approach winter. I want to tell you a story. Tell you about the moment fire, bright and hot, broke into our world and what it means. After Jesus' death, resurrection and ascension, his disciples are gathering together in Jerusalem. They're probably not cold. Summer is approaching in this part of the world. The sun is out. Maybe the room is quite warm, even stuffy. People have been filling the city, sweaty bodies pressed together to celebrate Pentecost, the annual Jewish harvest festival. And here is this little community sitting inside waiting for God's next move. And out of nowhere comes a rush of wind on their faces, and then fire dividing into flames, flames flickering over each of their heads. If the room wasn't hot before, it is now. There is wonder, fingers pointing, perhaps even extending to try and touch these red and yellow flames. They're speaking in a burst of different tongues, languages. And Luke, who tells us this story in the book of Acts, sums up what is going on by saying, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. How did they know it was the Holy Spirit? Because of the fire. Yahweh is associated with fire. In the Old Testament, when people experience the tangible presence of God, they will use words to describe God like a burning fire, a pillar of flames glowing so bright, shining like the sun, awesome to behold, holy. Some of the prophets like Isaiah describe God coming like a fire to burn away all that is wrong and unjust in the world. Who can live with this devouring fire, they cry? Who can survive this all-consuming fire? John the Baptist, years later, picks this up as he calls the people of Israel to repent, turn away from all that is wrong, and embrace God. As a sign of their repentance, people were getting baptized in the Jordan River. John would go on to say it's just water. But someone is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Someone would come and forgive sin. Someone will come and unleash this very spirit into people's lives so they might be refined and transformed and become something new. On Pentecost, this baptism of fire happens, and you see the disciples are changed and are changing. It's a new season. Summer, hot and bright, has come. Let me give you a moment to pause and talk in your groups now about what do we need this spirit to refine and transform in our lives, in the church. The Spirit of God has come in such a way that the disciples burn with excitement, with a boldness that cannot be contained. There is this burst of words. Strangers passing by hear words in their own mother tongue. All these languages have been spoken, even from far off places like Asia and Egypt. Something strange is going on, and so people stop, curious. The Spirit burns within the disciples, gathering the crowds towards them. Jesus once said, "I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it was already burning." Well, now here is Peter, Jesus' close friend, getting up to speak, and he is burning with passion as he speaks about Jesus. He tells the crowds of the wonders and signs Jesus did, ushering in something new. And even though some try to shut him down, denying the work of God, nailing him to death on a cross, Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus, now exalted, has received from the Father the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus promised, one of the last things he said to his disciples was, "Wait for the gift of the Spirit." And now, the Spirit has come. Jesus has shared the Spirit with this community dedicated to him. The early church would call Jesus the firebringer. They knew that fire is fundamental, yes, for our survival, but it's more than that. In the middle of winter, people not only tend to the fire, but gather around it. It draws people in, becoming the focal point. Fire is often a symbol of home and community and life. The early church theologian, Origen, describes Jesus like a fire. A quote from him, he says, "He who is near me is near the fire. He who is far from me is far from the kingdom." The invitation is to draw near to the warmth, to find our home in Jesus and receive the Spirit of God, the same fire lit in our lives so we are energized, burning with love for God and others. There was such excitement and momentum on this day of Pentecost. So many lives changed, people on fire for God. Many centuries later, Arnold Eberhard would be living in Germany in the 1920s and 30s and see the devastation of World War I and the rise of the Nazi regime. He and his wife Emmy look at the churches around them, but they don't see that same boldness or that same excitement. It's like the fire is spluttering out before their eyes. "Where is the Spirit of God?" they ask. "Have we neglected the Spirit? Stopped tending to the fire?" They, along with some friends, leave Berlin behind and move to a rural village and start an intentional community formed around Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. Arnold starts writing and reflecting on the Spirit of God, saying, a quote from him, "The Pentecostal spring of the first Christian church contrasts sharply with the icy rigidity of our Christianity today. Everyone senses that at that time a fresher wind blew and purer water flowed, a stronger power and a more fiery warmth ruled than is the case today among all those who call themselves Christians." Arnold was calling people back to Jesus, praying for the Spirit of love to burn once more in his homeland. He even sent a copy of this chapter on the Spirit to Hitler in 1933, and in response, the Gestapo raided the little church community and almost completely destroyed it. But Arnold and his friends placed this book on the Spirit in metal boxes and buried it underground to keep it safe. It was eventually smuggled out of the country after his death in 1936, giving people hope this season of winter would pass and summer would come hot and bright once more. The Spirit setting the church on fire with enthusiasm and passion and boldness for the good news of Jesus. So again, let me take a moment to pause and a moment for you to discuss in your groups. How would you describe the season of faith you or our church is in? Spring-like? Summer? Autumn? Winter? What are you learning about God or yourself in the season you are in? The Spirit's coming in this way. It's not out of nowhere, says Peter. This is what we've been waiting for. It's time to come. The prophets have been preparing us and we have been gathering to hear their words and look for the signs they speak about. For blood and fire and billows of smoke. It's been a long wait, but now the time has come. These are the last days, and God is pouring out the Spirit upon all people. All people, not just rulers or a few special ones here and there, not just people from one particular nation or culture or ethnic group. But everyone will burn with the power of God, able to prophesy, meaning speak about God, see visions and dream new dreams. What a wondrous time, says Peter, when everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And not just saved, but aflame. James had later described the tongue like a flame of fire. James knew the danger of language, how powerful our words are, and James warns if we're not careful, our words can burn others in destructive ways, causing harm. We need the Spirit to help us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and when we speak, to be a people of flame, speaking words that bring life, that point people to God. We need to be ready to listen to the ones we don't expect that God can speak through. It's Reconciliation Week, and the theme is to be a voice for the generations. And so today I read Peter's words proclaimed at Pentecost, and I think of Safina Stewart, dreaming new dreams. Filled with the Spirit of God, she created our beautiful painting in the foyer, and has recently painted a campfire to help people think about the voice in the referendum this year. You might remember seeing it in January. She dreams of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people with non-Indigenous people sitting together around a campfire. In her culture, she says, the campfire is a place of sharing, safety, listening, and welcome. She sees fire glowing as Aboriginal people speak, calling for justice and reconciliation. And I heard Christian Aboriginal leaders are prophesying, inviting us into the possibility of something good and new. We should be quick to celebrate the gifts God has given us and see the width and depth of gifts. The diversity of gifts is diverse as people are diverse. Everyone has something to give and contribute because everyone can be aflame with the Spirit of God. These gifts are given for the sake of others, for the life of the world, for the nations. God's dream is a new community forming, a new way of life breaking in with Jesus at the center. The Spirit of flame as individuals from all different nations sit around a fire, loving and serving and celebrating God and one another together. So again, let me give you a moment to talk in your group. What new dreams is God giving you? Have you ever asked for the Holy Spirit to empower and gift you? The Spirit of God comes in a very powerful, but also very intimate way. It's a fire that gently rests on people, fills them up from head to toe. The Spirit is the presence of God in our lives. We might not always feel the Spirit, but sometimes we will, a warmth inside us. Love, joy, peace, a feeling of closeness with God, because the good news is that God is not just out there. God fills us. In these winter days, and maybe we're wondering if God is still with us, maybe we're feeling cold, like God isn't close, we mark Pentecost. We gather together to keep warm, to remember, to celebrate, and to pray for the nations, to pray for one another, that we'll be open to the Spirit of God. So let's spend time now in groups praying.